So, good morning. Now you know all about the parables. We don't have to go into... That was quick, eh? That was quick. So, good morning. I'm truly excited and thankful this morning to begin this new series on the parables. Over the years, as I said, mentors have said, read the red, preach Jesus, and that's what I intend to do. I want this series to be the best series I've ever done. You're going to have mega multimedia. You're going to have, I feel like a seminary student that is going to do my master's or my PhD in Jesus. And I'm going to spend a lot of time in study, a lot of time in prayer, and a lot of time in prayer. I have a friend of mine who is a pastor, and every Friday morning he spends 4 hours in prayer for Sunday morning to prepare, because he memorizes the scripture. He doesn't use any notes or anything, and he just gets it into his spirit. I don't know if I'm going to memorize it, but I want the word to be so deep within my spirit so that when you come here on a Sunday morning, you're not just getting more knowledge, because that's all we ever get is knowledge. And if we're coming to church to get knowledge, we're missing something. So I don't want to give you knowledge. I want you and me and this house to sense the presence of God, and as we look in parables, to change us. Amen? And so just that's what I'm praying for, studying deeply. Jesus' parables, in terms of an introduction this morning, Jesus' parables are about the best known and most influential stories in the world. Even people who don't know anything about Jesus have probably heard something about the prodigal or the Good Samaritan. And the importance of the parables of Jesus can hardly be overestimated. Jesus was the master creator of story, right? Of story. How many of you like story? How many of you are readers? You like story. You're drawn into the story. And Jesus does that. He tells the story. He's the master of story. And he draws us in, and it's compelling. And it's always a good story when Jesus is sharing the story. Stories entertain. Stories inform. Stories involve. Stories motivate. They mirror our existence at times. It's amazing what story does, and no one can say that Jesus does not entertain us in the parables. Amen? You may not like all the things that he says, but I'm telling you, he entertains you. He entertains you, whether he convicts you or whether you come out and you feel good about it. But you know what? The power of story has changed the entire world. People may not know that, but the power of story, his story, has changed the entire world. And stories allow us to enter into a special place. And this is the case with the parables of Jesus. So I'm just setting the scene here as we journey into the story. And Jesus is inviting us at this time, in this house, in this season. My phone just talked to me. And Jesus has invited us into the story in this season, and story pulls us into the narrative world where there is development, there's plot, there's resolution, and this is what I want us to journey through in the parables. And I want you just not to get knowledge as we go into the different parables and say, oh, that was good, I think that's what that means. No, I want it to get in our spirit. I want us to be changed. As we learned in our Connect group this morning, Andy Stanley was teaching, and you know, and there are people who, over the years, well, my attendance at church is perfect, and so everything is measured on that, or whatever, and you know, it doesn't mean anything at the end of the day. It doesn't mean anything at the end of the day. It's our obedience to follow and to allow this word to live through us so that other people's lives are touched. And sometimes what happens is the standard that we have set in church, it doesn't mean nothing. When we stand before him, it's obedience to the word. And so the teller of the parables, Jesus Christ, he has an agenda. He has an agenda. Same like when I have an agenda. When I preach to you, I want to introduce something, and you'll see next week I have something so incredible at the beginning of the message. You're going to laugh, and it's going to be funny and everything like this. But at some point, I'm going to introduce a tension. It's going to be like this, or you're going to laugh, and then all of a sudden you're going to sense something. And then I'm going to bring you out of that tension, and I'm going to release you. And that's what Jesus did. He would always introduce a tension into the story. We see that if you read fiction, there's a tension that's introduced, and then it unfolds. And so Jesus, he pulls us into the narrative of these stories, and there is development, as I said, there's plot, there's resolution. And this is what I want for us here. I want this for us because Jesus has an agenda. He has an intent. He has an intent, and I hope that we will discover Jesus' intent in the weeks to come. He's very intentional as what he does. And so Jesus' parables, they've been described as both works of art and weapons in conflict with opponents. And we will see that unfold as well. Parables were Jesus frequently means of explaining the kingdom of God and to show the character of God and the expectations that God has for all of us, for humankind. And he would use that. He showed the Father. He showed the Son. He showed, it's amazing. So these are stories with intent, the communicative intent of Jesus. These simple stories are gems about life and about God. And so some of you have questions about life. And in the parables, life will be discovered as God will be discovered. And Jesus is intent. Sometimes it's difficult. It's sometimes difficult. Yet parables are consistent to each of us as they continue to say to us, read me again, read me again. They jump out at us. Once the parables get a hold of your heart, there's something in the Word of God that when you look at it, it's saying, read me again, read me again, read them again. And I want to capture something because the lesson that's in it, I want us to be, whatever the situation that you're dealing with, I want you to hear the still small voice of the Spirit of God saying, read me again, read me again, read me again. Have resolve in this situation by what the Spirit of God said to you when you heard or you read that parable. Let it come alive within you again. Don't make a fleshly decision on this. Don't make a decision out of anger. Don't make a decision out of anything. But read me again. Read me again. So the question for each parable is, how did Jesus seek to change the attitudes and the behaviors and move people to action? And a parable's ultimate aim is to awaken insight. Isn't that amazing? To stimulate the conscience and to move into action. I love that. I love that. I want to be so positive, but I'm also a realist. And I find that the body of Christ in this particular season needs renewal or revival. It's tired. The body of Christ is tired. And we need to move to action. We need to get the Spirit of God within us. Biblical parables reveal the kind of God that God is, how God acts, and they show what humanity is and what humanity should and become. And that is really, really exciting, right? So I don't want to tell you all of these things. I want us to discover it together. So let's read those couple of verses again that we saw in the little clip that were really quick. I will not be reading as fast as that. But the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And he replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." And Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet, "I will open their mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world." So why did Jesus use parables? Well, a parable is defined as a simple story that illustrates a profound truth. And telling parables was Jesus' main way of helping his followers grasp spiritual truths. And he was building a bridge from the natural to the supernatural. It was Jesus' way of helping people to make the transition that each of us must make every day in our life to move from the natural level of life to the spiritual level of life. So we have a responsibility to walk with this wonderful Jesus, don't we? Jesus revealed these insights through parables so those who knew the truth would understand, but those who were not intended to know did not understand. And so to understand further Jesus' reason for parables, we must look at the purpose of parables. Amen? To sow seed. Are you with me? To sow seed. Jesus used the parables to sow spiritual seed. His teaching had long-term purpose, to sow seed into people's lives that would grow later and to bear fruit. Seed takes time to grow. Amen? Amen? How many gardeners are here? Seed takes time to grow. And Jesus didn't expect his followers to grasp everything he was saying in one go. He allowed them to a delay so they would understand. He planted seeds within their minds that would grow and eventually explode when the time was right. When the time was right. And in some cases, many years passed until the understanding came, long after Jesus was gone, but the seed he had planted bore fruit all the time, all the same. So we have the hope this morning, amen? We have hope this morning. I prayed this morning. I got here 7:45 this morning. I just had some struggles in my spirit. And I needed to come and to pray. And so I was here and I was just praying. One of my prayers was, "Lord, forgive me for not allowing the fruit of the Spirit to flow freely in the last couple of days," where sometimes, how many of you could relate to that? Sometimes you don't allow the fruit of the Spirit to flow through you, and sometimes you have a stinking attitude, you know? And I had a little bit of a stinking attitude, and so I prayed that the seed would be released, and then I also thought of family members, and I thought of people in this church, and I was just talking to someone this morning. I said, "So how's anyone serving the Lord in your family?" And the person said their son, you know, but stuff like this. But the word prodigal came up, and a seed was planted. And Jesus, you know, he spent 3 years with his disciples, personally teaching and training them. Oh, my goodness. Thank goodness Jesus was God, because you know what? 3 years with them and they didn't get it. You know what? It's like for us, we've been here 18 years and there's some of you that haven't got it either. So, you know, but Jesus was God. I'm not God. So, you know, I could just understand his frustration. Wouldn't you? He says, could you just imagine, Peter, what's the matter with you? You're the closest to me. What's wrong with you? And so, but that's Jesus. So if he was here, he'd get away with it. But if I was to stand here before you and say, what's the matter with you people? Like, you know what? Like, I know I'm not Jesus, but man, we preach the word. Like, get it, man. The seed has been planted. It needs to just come out. And he spent 3 years personally training them. And yet, even after 3 years of listening to the parables firsthand, they still didn't understand much of what he was teaching until years later. And Jesus desires that the seed in our lives through the teaching will eventually bear fruit, and we will have great understanding to that. And you know what? When we get the understanding, folks, okay? Maybe some of you are dozing off, and maybe you heard some of this. But you know what? I'll tell you something. When you get the understanding in your spirit, and it becomes alive, and it becomes revelation, guess what? The things that are holding you hostage will go away. Okay? But you know why this? You know why the old stuff keeps coming back? Because the old stuff is our friend. And even though it's not a good friend, we welcome that friend. And the seed needs to flourish. The seed needs to come through. So if you have a stinking attitude, or if you have things that need to be changed in your life, then what happens is ask the Lord, say, Lord, is it the time now that the seed would be released and it would grow and I would be set free so that, Lord, when I speak, the fruit of the Spirit would come through my mouth. And so, Lord, there would be no more judgment in my life. There would be no more prejudice. There would be no more bigotry. There would be no more slandering. But, Lord, it would come through that when I come out of this church, people will not look at me and say, oh, look at how much he knows. But what will happen is they will see in you, they will see, oh, my goodness. I see the seed of Jesus in that person's life. So you could take this two ways. You can take that as like, oh, I don't measure up. One day I'm going to do that. Or you can take it like this. You can say, yes, that's what I want. That's who I'm going to be. That's who I'm going to walk with. Choice is yours. Like I said, my natural default is positive. A lot of people I meet, too many people I meet, their natural default is negative. Please, just meet me halfway. Okay? Just meet me halfway. Jesus desires to sow the seed. Secondly, the purpose is to safeguard the secrets of God. Do you find it fascinating, folks, this morning that God has secrets? God has secrets. And in answer to his disciples' question, Jesus said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. So first of all, God let us in on a secret. He has secrets. He has secrets. Isn't that amazing? And God can keep a secret. But he can also reveal that secret to whom he wills. And I want to be one of the people that I'll be first in line, Lord. Reveal your secrets to me, please. How about you? So God keeps secrets in order to reveal to them at the proper time and for those who are intended to receive them. At the right time, he unveils them to those whose hearts are seeking after him. So there's a connection here to us seeking after him invites maybe the secret to be revealed into our heart. Good combination. Very, very good combination. And I want this series to be one of the best ones that I've ever done. Thirdly, to highlight the sovereignty of God. The parables highlight the sovereignty of God. God gave a mandate to the prophet Isaiah that he may not have particularly liked. It said, go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving, in Isaiah 6 and 9. What kind of a mandate is that? Yet Jesus had the same mandate. It revealed God's sovereignty. Fourthly, to survey the teachings of salvation. In the parables, it's important this. This is so important. In the parables, we can view the whole panorama of salvation. The parables survey salvation from conversion through the work of the Spirit to what happens when we die. The whole life journey is found in these parables. And yet we still have people, so what is my purpose in life? Hopefully, we will discover through the parables the whole picture of salvation, the whole life that needs to take place. And fifthly, it's to reveal the Spirit of God. Jesus is revealing what true spirituality looks like as it is lived out in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's doing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Oh, look at all the books we read. Look at all the conferences we go to. You know, look at all the Pentecostal charismatic people, the way we talk about the Spirit and everything. And you know what? Sometimes maybe, and it's not bad what we're talking about, but maybe we just need to go to the source. Because Jesus is revealing what true spirituality is when it's lived out in the power of Holy Spirit. It's pretty practical. It's pretty practical stuff. So the promises of the Holy Spirit, or the promises of the parables is basically, there are many. There are many. This Thanksgiving weekend, and we have much to be thankful for, don't we? And as we move forward in the parables in the weeks to come, we will discover the promises that are in the parables. And there are many. So in conclusion this morning, let me ask you a question. When you read the Bible, how many of you read the Bible? When you read the Bible and you don't understand something when you first read it, what do you do? Do you close the Bible and say, well, I don't understand that? Is that what you do? If that's what you do, then you've just revealed how interested you are in understanding the things of God. But if you begin to seek God and to ask Him the things you don't understand, then a different dynamic comes into effect. You are now seeking God. You are now talking to God. You are now listening to God in this wonderful dynamic. And you're asking Him for revelation. And you're asking Him for understanding. And you're asking Him for wisdom. That's taking the hand of God and the hand of man and connecting them right there. And there's other ways that we do it too. We do it in worship. We do it in everything. But everything that we do, it would be to say, God, where's your hand? Let our hands connect. Let our hearts connect. And Jesus showed his disciples that Old Testament prophecies and promises were being fulfilled before their very eyes. And they're continuing to be fulfilled before our very eyes right now. I know, Sarah, I know that you attend a Messianic church in Victoria. And you must be just so excited, and we are too, to see what's taking place in Israel. And you know what, if you're tracking with that, and you probably track with it maybe a little bit more than we do, but to see what's happening and all the promises of God the Father are coming true, and they're coming to pass in this very day, and they're happening all the time. And if we start to hear the teachings of Jesus through the parable, and we start to see life beyond our situation, and we start to see God in kingdom, you know, he showed us these things, and what Isaiah said would happen is happening. So don't be surprised that you don't understand the parables. As we embark on this journey of exploring the parables together, I pray that God will take a hold of an essential ingredient, and that's to hear what Jesus is saying to us by his Spirit, and to apply it to our lives. Amen? To apply it to our lives. If God gives us a measure of understanding, and He will, if we're obedient, like, you know what? You think I don't know people on a Sunday who are here, but they're not here? Do you think that I'm a pretty sensitive guy? I'm very discerning. And you know what? When I sense that, my spirit becomes troubled. When I'm preaching, my message becomes mixed up, because what happens is you feel it within. You feel it within. And my prayer is that we will have this understanding of the Spirit as Jesus is talking about it, and we will apply it to our lives. You know what? It doesn't have to be weird. Holy Spirit is not weird. We're weird. Okay? Okay? Holy Spirit's not weird. Holy Spirit's beautiful. Holy Spirit is God. So if God gives us a measure of understanding, then we are most blessed. Amen? And I want this house to be most blessed. Amen. Most thankful. And we will give all the glory to God. Amen? Amen. Isn't He good?
Yes.
Amen.